It's been almost 50 years to the day since civil rights activist Malcolm X was assassinated. Tomorrow, WKAR airs Mike Worf's Kaleidoscope about Malcolm X's life and work. Malcolm X's Michigan roots are well known to many in our state. His family moved from Nebraska to Lansing in 1928. Malcolm X lived here for more than a decade. Again, his life and work is the subject of Mike Worf's Kaleidoscope, airing it tomorrow at 4 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR. We've got a preview of the show set to go. In the preview, Mike Worf remembers how he was called on at a last-minute fill-in to interview Malcolm X at a radio station in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Former black Muslim Malcolm X was about to speak to a packed audience at the Audubon Ballroom on Upper Broadway in New York City. There was a sudden disturbance and a firing squad of three men, two armed with revolvers and one with a shotgun, rushed the stage. The black leader was peppered with a shower of bullets, and by the time he reached the Vanderbilt Clinic, he was past recall. Shortly before, he'd said, "Each day I live as if I'm already dead." We take you to that February day, 1965. A story about America's angry man. His life and times. Malcolm X.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rank of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
The thing I remember about him, I suppose, is twofold. First, how terribly angry he was. Up to that time and for many years to come, I don't believe I had ever met or been in the company of an angrier man. Secondly, in all my years as a broadcaster, there was never a time when I was so out of my element. As the program's host, I was not prepared, not well-read, not informed, knew next to nothing about black history, and certainly not equipped to debate a man 10 years my senior, who had lived his entire life confronting and struggling with the obstacles with which Malcolm Little had to contend. The interview was a disaster. He was in total control, handling himself confidently, focused, adroit. It was no match. My inexperience evident, his comment profound. It was a day I received an education. You know, it's easy to remember the successes. The failures are conveniently forgotten. But I've never really thought my meeting Malcolm X was a negative experience, for even after all these years, I can still see him, still hear him articulate black rage in a manner unprecedented in American history.
You beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself.
His manner of communicating, this rage, emphasized a maddening urgency and an audacious sincerity. The gist of what he said concerned the sheer stubbornness of most Americans to see the ridiculousness that confronted black Americans, the repeated attacks on their intelligence, character, and potential, his deep resolve to affirm black humanity at any price, and his profound courage to point out the hypocrisy in American society made him the prophet of black rage, then and now. His life has now been depicted on the screen, which I suppose is a yardstick to measure a certain immortality. Whether or not it gets to the truth remains to be seen in the eye and the mind of the viewer. What you are about to hear is far less dramatic. The story of Malcolm X, born in Omaha, Nebraska, May 19, 1925, a Muslim at 22, a minister at 26. And by the time he was 34, he had become a prominent African American. But how much does America really know about Malcolm Little? Here on Kaleidoscope, the man, the myth, Malcolm X. He was the seventh child born to Earl Little and the second born to Earl's second wife, Louise. From Omaha, with its Ku Klux Klan harassment, the family moved to Milwaukee, where Earl Little worked as a common laborer and part-time preacher, spreading the doctrines of Marcus Garvey. It was probably at this time that Malcolm first began to learn, or at least listen, to the talk of black self-love and black self-respect. His father died under the wheels of a streetcar, this allegedly caused by a group of angry whites, although denied in some quarters, as was the reported charge that the Klan had attacked the Little home. From Milwaukee to East Lansing, Michigan, and here it was that Malcolm learned about racism firsthand. He was a student in the eighth grade at Pleasant Grove School when a white teacher derided Malcolm for his ambition to become a lawyer. The incident is recounted by Wilfred Chavez, Malcolm's older brother.
You know how they do in school when you're in your teens? They start asking you what your goals are, what you might be planning on preparing for, you know, as far as your education is concerned. And he was the only black in the class at this school where he was. So naturally, when they ask this question, they ask it as they ordinarily do of white students. But when he answered, he said he wanted to be an attorney. And naturally, the teacher told him that there weren't many opportunities for colored people, as they called us in those days, or Negroes. There weren't many opportunities for them in that field. And he should be more realistic and plan for something that he could be. And then they name off these menial jobs, you know, janitors, carpenter's helpers. Now, I really don't think this white man meant anything mean or anything by it. I think that was just the way they reacted in those days.
Malcolm was shifted from one foster home to another. His mother was institutionalized to remain there for 26 years, and Malcolm turned to a life of crime. He lived in Boston, Massachusetts with his half-sister Ella, wearing his zoot suit and selling marijuana. From a delinquent to a real unsavory character, for Malcolm began to see the benefits in gambling, prostitution, and burglary. He and a friend, with their two girlfriends, burglarized the homes in Boston's wealthier sections. For a while, it was the high life for Malcolm Little. Once again, Wilfred Chavez.
He thought ahead, you know, and figured his way. And he made the best of it while he was in it. And he learned how to hustle. He learned how to make some money out there on the street. That's true. He was never what you would call a hardcore person of that type. It was just something where he saw more opportunity in that economically than in the way that they had assigned to us. So he would use it for that purpose. But it wasn't a thing where, still back within himself, he lived more or less, he could never get away from the principles that our father and mother had imbued in us.
That's an excerpt from Mike Worf's Kaleidoscope, a special program on the life and work of Malcolm X. Kaleidoscope airs tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on WKAR AM 870.